Forces Radio and Television Service presents the Bob Hope Show with Les Brown and his band of renown. And yours truly, Bill Goodwin. And now here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we're doing our show from the Los Alamitos Naval Air Station here at Los Alamitos, California. And this is where the sailors learn to fly. Most sailors already know how, but this is where they learn to fly with planes. I drove down here today. I was feeling brave, so I took the freeway. For you Eastern listeners, a freeway is a long concrete do-it-yourself suicide kit. At least out here, there are no hit-and-run drivers. Here, after they hit you, they hang around and gloat. But I had a nice ride, and what traffic. I haven't seen such a jam since Sophie Tucker and Jackie Gleason tried to use the same phone booth. But I did pretty good coming down. For 2 hours, I had a police escort, then he caught up with me. And I guess I shouldn't have stopped so fast. It took him 20 minutes to get out of my glove compartment. I could tell when I was getting near Los Alamitos, I saw several pilots driving their cars, if you can call it driving. They drive like they're trying to have the wings on their collars move lower down. One guy had two of his wheels touching the road, and everyone who went by him yelled, "Chicken." But I drove over here from Palm Springs. Palm Springs, that's where the people from Kansas go around in sunsuits and stare at the people from Minnesota in shorts and say, "Gee, these Californians sure dress funny." Seriously, Palm Springs is now the swankiest resort in California. And to think it all started with two rattlesnakes and a press agent. A lot of movie stars own homes there. Crosby has a place just outside of Palm Springs. It's called Nevada. And there are quite a few cowboys in Palm Springs. You know what a cowboy is? That's a guy who rides a horse while they're fixing his Cadillac. And Palm Springs has more swimming pools than any place in the United States, which means it's dangerous to sneak around anyone's backyard after dark. There was almost a tragedy at Jar Jar Gabor's last night, but they pulled me out in time. And the hotel swimming pools all have lifeguards, but there's such a thing as being too careful. Marilyn Monroe never gets a chance to swim. Every time she goes in the water, some guy pulls her out and starts giving her artificial respiration. A lot of celebrities have homes in Palm Springs. Eddie Cantor has a Spanish hacienda. Loretta Young has a formal home with period furniture. And Errol Flynn has a Western-type ranch with a mink bar. Very attractive. The whole thing has got an early American phone number. Liberace has a place down there, too. You can tell the neighborhood where Liberace lives. The branch of the Bank of America is shaped like a piano. But I love Palm Springs because there's never a dull moment. This morning, I went out and tried out the spring in my new diving board, and it really was springy. On the first jump, I went clear over my swimming pool, backyard, and the house next door, and landed on the roof of the El Mirador Hotel. I didn't mind that, but I wish my bathing trunks had followed me. And now let's get on with the show. Who's our guest, Bill?
Ah, we're really loaded tonight, Rob. Our guest is a very beautiful girl, Deborah Padgett.
Yum, yum.
Easy, Bill. That light in your eyes will set fire to the scenery.
I'm sorry, Rob, but Deborah happens to be one of the most gorgeous girls I've ever seen.
I know, but you don't have to flip like a schoolboy. When there's a pretty girl around, Bill, why don't you act like me? Calm, debonair, sophisticated, blasé,
pooped.
Down, porcelain head.
Shall I ask Deborah Padgett to come in now, Bob?
Relax, Bill. You get along better if you do things calmly. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, "Slowly, slowly, catchy monkey." It always works.
I've seen the girls you go out with, and I believe it.
There's another Chinese proverb, Bill. Announcer who tried to be funnier than star of show like man who let wife drive new car on freeway. Bound to lose rear end. And furthermore, Bill, don't get any ideas about Deborah Padgett. You haven't got a chance with me around.
With you around? Bob, Deborah happens to be a 21-year-old girl.
And how old do you think I am?
Well,
I said, how old do you think I am? And be careful, this may be your farewell speech.
Oh, well, I think you're about 29, Bob.
Oh, come back in and close the door, old boy.
I really didn't mean to offend you, Rob, but young girls like fellas who go out and have fun and dance. And you're the pipe and slipper type.
The pipe and slipper type?
That's right. The last time you stayed up till midnight was to get the McKinley election return.
Are you kidding? I'm the Alley Con of Stan's Drive-In. And as far as dancing goes, I happen to be one of the best students Arthur Murray ever had.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to brag, but when Cesar Romero sees the way I do the tango, he rushes home and throws himself on his bed and cries for hours.
You seem to consider yourself quite a ladies' man.
Yeah, and I'm not the only one. Let's ask Margaret Whiting over there. Hey, Maggie, would you step over here, please?
What do you want, Bob?
Maggie, I want to ask you a question. If you were walking along the street and you saw me and Bill Goodwin for the first time, which one of us would you wink at?
Why, I'd wink at you, Daddy-o.
You would?
You know it, Grandpa.
Grandpa? Where does it say Grandpa? Where?
Right there.
Don't ever bring a pencil to this show again. You understand? This late in the season, I can't control the workers. Look, Maggie, I'll ask you the question again.
Oh, Bob, forget the whole thing.
Okay, but I still say I'm extremely attractive to women. I'll leave it to Maggie here. What do you say, Maggie? Well, I'll leave it to Les Brown. What do you say, Les? Well, I guess I'll just leave it.
What's this argument all about, anyway?
Oh, Bill and I got to talking about Deborah Padgett, and one thing led to another. With Deborah Padgett, it can do that.
Now, don't tell me you two Rusty Romeos are jealous of each other.
Watch it, Tappy Top. We have Peggy Lee waiting in the truck.
Listen, Maggie, I'm not jealous, but I'll bet $10 Bob can't get a date with Deborah Padgett.
Well, you've got to bet. I say she'll go out with me, and what's more, she'll get a big kick out of it.
She sure will. It'll be the first time she ever rode in a Stutz Bearcat. Well, I'll see you later. I'll go tell Deborah to come out here.
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
Schnook.
Stutz Bearcat. He knows I drive an Eldorado convertible.
Cadillac?
Hmm?
Cadillac?
No, an Essex.
You kiss that $10 goodbye, Bob. Frankly, I don't think Deborah will go out with you.
Well, she might. Stranger things have happened.
Name one.
Well, this morning, Judy Garland helped Grace Kelly polish her Oscars. Say, I've got an idea, Maggie. When Deborah comes in, why don't you pretend you're madly in love with me?
Huh?
I say, why don't you pretend you're madly in love with me? What? Look, Maggie, you can pretend to have a crush on me just as a favor to a friend and for old anxiety to keep your job, can't you?
Okay, Bob. When Deborah's here, I'll come in and go mad over your big brown eyes. Brother, the things you have to do to make a living on this show. See you later, Marlon.
Thanks, Maggie. Now, let's see. Have I got my pocket handkerchief at the proper angle? I wish the suede on my shoes was a little more fluffed up.
Hey, here's Deborah Padgett now, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Well, Deborah, how are you?
Gee, Deborah, you know, you've been in so many Indian pictures, this is the first time I've ever seen you in pale-face clothes.
Yes, I have played an Indian girl quite often, Bob.
Yeah, now I know why there's always smoke coming out of their wigwams. Anyway, Deborah, it was nice of you to take time off from your picture to come down here to Los Alamitos with us.
Well, it's a thrill for me, Bob, meeting these wonderful pilots. They certainly must be brave to fly their planes under all conditions and through all kind of weather.
Deborah, you may not have noticed it, but I have some accomplishments myself.
Bob, you don't fly planes, cross oceans, or fight storms.
No, but I bet I'm the only guy here who can play Davy Crockett just by cracking his knuckles.
There you are. And with another woman, as usual.
Who's this?
Well, who do you think I am? I'm one of his many cast-offs.
Please, I'm booked solid till Thanksgiving. After the cancellation, I'll call you.
Gee, Maggie, do you really feel this way about Bob?
Oh, yes. Doesn't every girl? How could anyone resist such a man? Look at those big brown eyes.
Uh-huh.
And that hair.
Uh-huh.
And look at that nose.
Any, particular part?
Don't knock it. It saves me a fortune in shoehorns. Look, Deborah, I have a confession to make. This whole thing with Maggie was just an act to make you notice me so you'd give me a date tonight.
Why, Bob, you didn't have to go to all that trouble. I'd just love to go out with you tonight.
You would? Hey, Goodwin, hand it over. Pay me the $10. Deborah's going out with me tonight.
Okay, here you are, Bob. I'll have to admit, you're a bigger wheel in the romance department than I gave you credit for.
Oh, but I'm not going out with Bob for romantic purposes.
You're not? Then why are you going out with me?
Well, I saw your car parked outside, Bob, and, well, I've always been just crazy to ride in a Stutz Bearcat.
Oh, you love it. I just had new candles put in the headlights. See you later. Here's Miss Margaret Whiting from Capitol Records singing How Important Could It Be with Les Brown. Come in, Maggie.
That I tasted of her lips. That was long before you came to me with the wonder of your kiss. So the story got around of an old romance in me. But it happened, oh, how important can it be? Mine was a young and a foolish heart, seeking love at every turn. But I have grown so much wiser now, even foolish hearts can learn. Let the past just fade away. Why get lost in yesterday? The important thing is here and now, and our love is here to stay. Mine was a young...
And drums along the Mohawk under Navajo skies in the land of the Cherokees as Chief Sitting Bull meets the last of the Mohicans.
Or... This is your life, Jeff Chandler.
The year is 1871. The Indian tribes are on the warpath. At Fort Apache, a new general has arrived to handle the situation. Welcome to Fort Apache, General.
Thank you, Colonel.
20,000 Indians are massed in the hills, and they're on the warpath.
Don't worry about a thing. I have a reputation of never losing a life, never losing a soldier under my command. Just stick with me, and we'll all be safe.
We'll all be safe?
Sure as my name is General Custer.
You sound very brave.
I'd better be. I may not be on the next page.
Hey, we thought you were bringing 10 wagon loads of supplies, General.
No, I haven't got the supplies.
And 1,000 rifles.
I haven't got the rifles.
And 50 cannons.
I haven't got the cannons.
But what happened to them all?
On the way out here, I stopped off at Las Vegas. I'd have lost my good conduct medal, too, but it wouldn't fit in the slot machine. But tell me, exactly what is the situation here, Colonel?
Well, Sitting Bull's braves are running wild. They burned the towns of Oak Ferry, Logan, Hartsville, Kearney's Crossing. And last night they massacred the settlers at Blue Creek.
Excellent. Good work.
Oh, but the Indians did that.
Oh, that changes my plan.
How do you mean, General?
What time's the next train leave?
How are things back there in Washington, General?
Oh, fine. President Lincoln's very happy.
Lincoln? I thought Ulysses S. Grant was president now.
Well, one of those guys with a beard. I forget who. I knew Gabby Hayes didn't make it.
Anyhow, we're flattered to have a top rank in general sent out here, sir.
Yes, I was very close to the president. I had a very important job.
Very important job, General? What was it?
Chasing the squirrels off the White House lawn.
Now, before you attack, General, would you like to question the prisoners? We captured some of Sitting Bull's people. Three braves and a beautiful young squaw.
Three braves and a beautiful young squaw?
Yeah, we thought you might be able to get some information out of them.
Oh, good idea. Send them in one by one, all except the three braves.
Yes, sir. Come in here, you. Here she is, General.
Take your hands off me. Let go of me. Let go.
Oh. Wildcat, she bit my finger.
Well, stand back. I'll show you how to handle her.
Get away from me.
None of that. You just come right over here and...
Oh! Oh! Well, what happened?
Care to shake stubs?
Stay away. You cut me and I'll grab you and claw you and I'll take you and I'll fight you.
What tribe are you with? The Blue Cross?
Young woman, this is the commanding officer of Fort Apache, General Custer. Now, just answer his question. What is your name?
I am the daughter of Chief White Feather. I am Green Feather.
Well, tickled to meet you.
General, I'll put this young squaw back in the stockade.
Not till she talks. Now, honey, you trust me, don't you?
No.
Why not?
You have the face of a fox, the sneaky look of the coyote, and the mean, beady eyes of the rattlesnake. You are a no-good, treacherous weasel.
Who snitch?
I warn you, General.
If any of you turned in late, welcome to Zoo Parade.
I warn you, General, our warriors are many thousands, and they are ready. They plan to ambush you on the banks of the Little Bighorn.
The Little Bighorn?
Yes. Nothing personal.
Well, I'm not afraid of your tribes and their ambush. They won't stop me.
Do not march against my people, General Custer, or our warriors will ride in a great circle around you. A circle that will grow smaller and smaller, and you will die, and all your soldiers will die.
You know, I have the strangest feeling. I saw this movie once somewhere.
General Custer's troops arrived at the Little Bighorn the next day. In a last-minute effort to avert war, the general met with Chief Sitting Bull on the battlefield.
I tell you, Chief Sitting Bull, I have a great army at my command.
Out!
If your people don't leave this territory, they'll be wiped out.
Out!
My men are highly trained and have all the latest equipment.
Out!
You can't win, Chief. You haven't got a chance.
Out!
Why do you keep saying ugh?
Can't help it. Just took it out for something.
Tell me, Sitting Bull, how come you look so much like Professor Colonna?
Because the guy who runs the show is too cheap to hire actors.
No.
Chief Sitting Bull, we want to settle this without fighting.
Good. Please smoke pipe of feet. You first, General.
Thanks. What kind of tobacco is this?
Kentucky Club.
Kentucky Club?
Yes. Daniel Boone was through here 2 weeks ago.
What's that?
War drums of one of my tribes, the Comanche. Those are the Cheyennes. And those are the Navajos.
Who's their arranger, Spike Jones?
Those drums mean they've decided to fight.
You'll be sorry, Chief. What chance have your arrows and tomahawks against my army?
Oh, we're not afraid. We also have 1,000 rifles.
1,000 rifles? Where'd you get them?
Hit a winning streak at Las Vegas.
Even so, you haven't got a chance.
Our tribes around you on every hilltop. If you do not turn back, General Custer, we will massacre you and your men.
Massacre? Ha!
You don't believe me.
Of course not. You Indians haven't won a picture in 5 years.
Anyway. Very well, if it's war you want, we'll give it to you. In the name of my people, I say to you, General Custer, Diga Uwulwaki Runda Ula.
What does that mean?
Don't buy any long playing records.
And so the battle was on.
to wipe their teepees. Come on, there's too many of them. We'd better fall back. The Indians are wiping us out.
They got me. Oh, I'm dying. Everything is growing dim. Oh. Ooh. They got me again.
But the Indians don't have guns. Who shot you?
I did. I can't stand that acting.
Most of your men have been killed, General. You better surrender.
Never. Never. I'll never surrender.
You are a brave man, General Custer. What courage. What makes you so brave?
Oh, I have to keep fighting.
But why?
I was wiped out by the Indians at Cleveland. I can't have it happen again. Deborah, for helping us out tonight.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Bob.
And our thanks to 20th Century Fox. By the way, they have a very fine picture in A Man Called Peter with Richard Todd and Gene Peters.
Yes, it's wonderful, Bob.
I saw it the other night, and it's really great. So long, Deborah, and thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Bob.
How about that?
Bye.
Show starring Bob Hope and featuring the music of Les Brown and his Band of Renown is written by Norman Sullivan and Charles Lee. Bill Goodman speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.